we extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders on this second Sunday of Lent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Are you lonesome? Does God's Word have any help for you? Yes, it does. And that's what we are going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we know that in this great world of ours, with all of its beauty, with all of the fingers of your creation ever visible, that there are many hearts that really hurt. Some of them hurt from pain, and are on their hospital beds today. Some, O God, hurt in spirit, and one of the afflictions of the spirit is often loneliness. We know, God, that your Son experienced a great deal of loneliness while he was performing his ministry. Give us a grace today to hear what he did with it. And then, O God, empowered by your Spirit, grant that we too may walk in his footsteps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear the Word of God as it is recorded in the 26th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 31. When Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, Peter, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Here ends the reading of the Gospel.
Its flow.
Which is worse, to be homesick or to have a bad headache? Give me the headache anytime would be the way I'd vote. I've really only been homesick once, and I was a person of about 20 years of age, but I never want to have that experience again. Homesickness is a form of loneliness. We long for people, especially for family and friends, while we're away from them. We want to hear their voice. We want to receive their counsel. We want to hear them laugh. And they just aren't around. What can we do? Well, in this age of technology, we can pull out the cell phone and hear their voice, and that's a blessing, but it isn't quite like being there. A crowd doesn't seem to take away loneliness. People tell me that one of the loneliest places in the world is New York City. I could imagine that would be true. There are people all around you, but they don't know anything about you, and you know very little about them. Consequently, when you sit down and talk, if you do, on one of those sidewalk cafes, you don't get much further than, where are you from? How do you like New York City? Have you been to this particular show? So forth and so on. Nothing, very little in common. Like I've referred to on this program many a time, I had an uncle who was a hobo. Lars was his name. Lars would come to visit us occasionally. And after he had a shower and a clean set of clothing, he had the run of the house. And it was really fun to have Uncle Lars there. I'd say to him when I got home from school, "Uncle Lars, tell me some of the stories of being a hobo. What's it like to ride a boxcar? Do you have a lot of these experiences where you rap on doors and ask for food?" And he'd spin one tale after another. I often wondered if they were quite true. But then after a few days, Lars would say, "Well, I've got to be leaving." I recall as I grew older that I asked him one day, "Why do you have to hurry off? You don't have any schedule." "Oh, yeah," he said, "I do." So then I asked, "Well, where are you going?" "Well," he said, "it may take me a while, but I got to get back to the boys. Back to the boys in camp." And I said, "Well, what will you talk about when you get back to the camp? You don't have any business deals, do you?" "Well," he said, "we talk about where is a good place to go and something that we haven't seen, or where people seem to be friendly and so forth and so on." He was a man who my father was his brother. He would sit and talk to my father, and they would enjoy the company of one another. Lars was by no means a dumbbell. Played the violin quite well. He was a cabinet maker by trade. He just didn't want to work. That's the way he was. And so when he gets into a culture that calls for structure, he's not that interested in being with us too long. Wants to keep in contact with us, but that's about it. I am told by some of my friends that the bars are sanctuary for many lonely people. They don't know where to go. And so they find their way to the bar. And some have said, you know, at times we find a group of people there who are just a little bit more understanding of us than you are in the church. That's a serious indictment and something that we should really take a look at. But they're lonely people, many of them trying to run away from their problems, trying to do away with all of it through booze. What a horrible experience. Well, we could go on talking about loneliness and where it finds its way into our hearts and into our society. But let's get to the Word of God. For the question is, does the Word of God have anything to say to us about loneliness? And I believe that it does, because our Lord Jesus Christ, during the course of his ministry, knew what it was to have a lot of lonely minutes. For example, in John 6:66, and I would urge you to look up some of these passages. Jesus is looking over the city of Jerusalem. This is what he says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. He saw all those people walking on the streets of the capital city. He saw them going to the temple. And he thought, I've got so much good to tell them. I want to talk to them about a God of love who has redeemed them and his grace reaches out to them. And I wanted to make them one part of my great family that was going to come into existence and last forever and ever. But they simply would not come with me. So he had some lonesome hours. Children walking away. That was what Jesus saw. I had a friend. In fact, he was a member of our staff for some time, who once raised the question, do you think Jesus suffered more on the cross where they had put nails through his hands, or did he suffer more when he experienced the rejection of the people? Well, let's go on to another passage of Scripture. And here you turn to Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. He was together with his disciples, and he was foretelling his suffering. He said to them, from this time many of his disciples would turn their backs and no longer follow him. You do not want to leave too, do you? He asked the 12. He anticipated some very lonesome hours. Are you going to go? And they said, oh, Lord, no, we're not going to go. Under no conditions are we going to leave you. We'll be with you always. And Peter goes on to really get very strong in this whole matter. But the very fact that he has this conversation with these disciples says something. It says, don't leave me. Now, this is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He's true man, though, and the last thing that he wants is to be alone without somebody with whom he can talk about the main things of life. Well, now go to Matthew 26, verses 31 to 34. He was with his 12 disciples, and he says to them, "This very night, you're going to leave me." He's down to 12 disciples now. All of the rest have left him, at least as far as we know. Maybe there were a few stragglers, but they weren't in his presence. There again, they said to him, "We will never, never leave you. We will die with you." But Jesus said, "I wished I could believe you, but there are some lonesome hours ahead." And then they got to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now Jesus took 3 of the 12. You remember that story well. Peter, James, and John. He went into the inner garden. The sins of the world were being placed upon him. His heart was heavy. And so he said to Peter, James, and John, "Now you sit here. I'm going to go into the inner part of the garden and there pray to my Father." He was down to 3 now. 3 people that he really could deal with. And when he came back, what was it he said to them? "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? In one sense of the word, they were with him, and yet they weren't. They were not with him in the experience of their suffering. There he was alone. And now they come and arrest him, and they take him out to be tried before Pilate. He's down to really no human beings by this time. For they gathered together and took him through the courts. And as they were taking him through the courts, Peter was just saying, "I don't know that person. I've never met him, even used a curse." And the scriptures say this, "This fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean," they said of Peter. And Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered what the Lord said, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. Now even Peter, with a curse, has said, "I don't know him." His friends had gone. He was alone. And they placed him on a cross. And there with all of that physical suffering that was going on, he utters that word from the cross, word that we have not been able to really understand for sure exactly what it was that he was saying. And yet it's very clear. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And the mystery here is, had God really forsaken him too? Then neither God nor man cared for him. Well, whatever way you want to interpret this passage of Scripture, we begin to understand full well that Jesus really knew what lonesomeness was all about. Sometimes when you talk with a lonesome person, you'll say, "Yeah, I understand." The person will say, "No, that's not true. You don't understand. And I'm glad that you don't understand, because it's such a horrible situation to be in." Then I always could say to them, "You're maybe right. But I have one who does understand. I have a Savior." Listen to what the writer of the book of Hebrews said. "We do not have a Savior who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sinning." And that includes loneliness, the temptations that go along with loneliness, of wanting to throw in the towel and say it's all over with. What's this all about anyway? And then the writer of the book of Hebrews says, "Because he understands, let us then with confidence approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need." That's the invitation. Does God's word have something to say about loneliness? Yes, it does, friend. You have a Savior who knows what loneliness is all about. And he says, come, cast all of your cares on me. I care for you. I'll speak to you through my word. And we see how that happened. For example, you take the psalmist, David, the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm sure that David was lonely out there as a shepherd boy. There were no people around. His brothers, his father, and his mother were not there. But David knew that underneath it all, there was a Savior, a God of love, a redeeming God, who walked with him. Paul experiences loneliness, and in the last letter that he wrote that we have in the New Testament, it's a second letter to the young pastor, Timothy. He says, Timothy, and Paul at that time was sitting in Rome in a prison, please come to me before winter. He wanted Timothy. He wanted that flesh and blood. He wanted to be able to touch him. But underneath, Paul knew that he had a God who was walking with him. I don't know what your situation is today. You may be one of those who mourn the loss of a loved one. And oh, if you could only talk with him or her. Tough, isn't it? Tough. We, in some one sense of the word, we never probably ever quite get over that. And others give it a little time and God's grace, and we seem to make the adjustment. I think of the young lady who, just in her teens, said to me one day, I'm so lonely, Pastor. And I said, what are you lonely about? And she said, my father and mother have divorced. I love them both. And I'm so lonely, sometimes I don't even like to go home. I've heard others say many different things. I have not experienced this, but I have watched on television like many of you have. And we see these young men and women going over to Iraq or to some other place to serve, going to be away from their loved ones for up to 18 months. You can feel the hurt. You can just feel it. Lonely. We know that only that personal contact takes much of that feeling away. But underneath, as you go on your way, you know that the Lord goes with you. And then when they return, isn't it a happy day? They hug and they kiss one another and they're back again. And the little kids jump up into daddy or mommy's arms. Yes, we need our loved ones. We need people with whom we have something in common. But while that is away, and more important probably after all, is that we have a God. And this is what he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So in your lonesome hours, you come and talk it all over with me. Bring along a big handkerchief and cry, and I'll cry with you. That's our redeeming Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you and is concerned about your loneliness. Amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you know what loneliness is. Reach into the hearts of those who this day are on their beds of pain, or maybe walking down the street and know not which way to turn, for they feel that they don't have a friend in the world. Come to them, Lord, and be their Savior and their Counselor. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported by gifts from our listeners. We are especially grateful for our gift every month, GEM Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Our contributors are truly special in this important ministry. Your gifts allow us to bring the greatest news that ever was, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to our listeners throughout the country and worldwide. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.